podcast?
Movie, movie podcast.
Are you getting this?
Buy a BP so he doesn't have to sing again this week.
Welcome to the Movie Movie Podcast, everybody. Episode number 43. I'm your host, Tiggs. And with me, as always, are Russ.
Hey, it's Russ.
Peter.
I was getting a beer, but I walked back.
And Alex.
Neil.
Nice. We've got a couple movies to talk to you guys about today, and we're going to start off with the latest in the Superman franchise, Man of Steel. Can we get a Rust down?
Yes!
That was maniacal.
That was crazy.
Yeah, you think I don't have it up? I have it. Man of Steel, directed by Zee Snide. A young itinerant worker is forced to confront his secret extraterrestrial heritage when Earth is invaded by members of his race.
Shut the fuck up. That is not what it says.
Wait. Can I get a second reading of the Rust down?
A young itinerant worker is forced to confront his secret extraterrestrial heritage when Earth is invaded by members of his race.
Nope. I don't want to see that movie.
In charge of itinerary somewhere?
What is
that? Like, it's fucking Superman fights people in Metropolis. Like, this you think would be the easiest?
It's like someone at IMDb was clearly looking for a raise. Like, I am going to make this the most creative Superman rust down ever. I realize I didn't know what to call it other than a rust down.
I didn't realize that if you click plot on the IMDb app, like two more plots jump up. Like one done by Anonymous, the hacktivist.
The hacker group. Nice.
says a child sent to Earth from a dying planet is adopted by a couple in rural Kansas, posing as a journalist. He uses his extraordinary powers to protect his new home from an insidious evil.
And now my main question is, Alex, are you trying to steal Russ's spot here?
Come on, the Alex down.
You know, that was like a veiled critique at my Russ down. Like, I've been off lately.
I think we should all try it now. Let's all get a synopsis up.
All want to get a Man of Steel synopsis? How many are there?
There's only two.
Oh.
There's other websites, guys.
This is all I can
do. Wait, there's one
more from Warner Brothers here. There's one there.
We'll just read them all over again. So fuck it.
Yeah, I'm not reading that itinerant worker one. If I'm going to a audition for voiceover work, I'm not going to say the itinerant worker version of Man of Steel. There was also a History Channel documentary called Stalin: Man of Steel.
read us the description for that.
No, oh,
I thought we were going to do that.
The movie info from Warner Brothers is: a young boy learns that he has extraordinary powers and is not of this earth. Wait, not of this earth? He's not of this earth! As a young man, he journeys to discover where he came from and what he has, what he was sent here to do. I can't read. But the hero in him must emerge if he is to save the world from annihilation and become the symbol for hope for all mankind. Wow. See, that's worse.
Right, Pete, you're worse. Yeah, you're worse at this.
No, I meant that. No, the synopsis.
So we give it to Anonymous?
Okay, so... Big thing about this movie, guys, is that, of course, they wanted it to be loaded up with action, because that was the main complaint about Superman Returns.
That he just caught stuff?
It was just too emo?
Yeah, but I mean, the really annoying thing about this is that, once again, they felt the need to rehash the, whatchamacallit?
The origin story?
The origin story.
Yeah.
And it was done
a little bit better in this one.
Yeah, but for me, well, that's the thing. You guys don't forget that Superman Returns didn't have an origin story in it.
Right.
Yeah, it was a sequel to Superman 2.
Yeah. Is that I don't think their version of the story adds anything new in that we really need. Maybe if they just want to do the Pa Kent stuff, that's fine. But I think the previously on Krypton stuff.
Yeah, that was sort of unnecessary.
Yeah. I mean, that was a good half hour.
It was very long.
And that was one of the big reviews I read was like, why are you going to spend all this money to make Krypton all technological cool and make it the blandest place in the world?
Yeah, seriously.
Like it looked like what I imagine Persia from 300 looks like.
It had like Wampas, it had the Matrix, it had everything.
Well, what was funny was just like how long it took for It's like, all right, we knew what Jor-El wanted to do pretty quickly. He's like, all right, well, I'm going to send my kid somewhere else.
Yeah.
And then it's like, wait,
I just have to go do this real quick.
Is he in the pod? All right, well, you got to turn the key. All right, oh, the key's turned. All right, well, now you got to aim it. All right, well, we're aiming. Now you got to... I just got to go take a shit first.
And it's not like they had to send him off before this, like, entirely monumental moment, except Zod coming, but I...
It took 15 minutes for the kid in the pod to leave. Like, just send the motherfucker.
And what I don't understand is, why did Zod want to change Earth's atmosphere so bad?
Terraforming is fun.
It's like,
he didn't want to all be gods on this planet, I guess.
Yeah.
It would be fucking awesome.
It took, like, maybe a minute and a half of vague pain for them to acclimate to the atmosphere.
Right.
And most of that was trying to figure out their powers.
Yeah.
But Zod was able to do it. Yeah. Why do you need to terraform it? Why not, I don't know, punch every single person in the entire world to death?
I mean, I guess it's just faster if you just terraform.
That's what I would think.
Yeah.
It's like, then you got all that cleaning up to do.
Mm. Oh, well, that's, I mean...
Made a real mess.
I mean, well, maybe he had, like, a specific design in mind that he had.
But that,
like,
creates
he had
jobs, you know? Like, you're just thinking, you guys are forgetting about big terraform. Someone's just going to come in there.
Oh, it's true. Yeah, so what did you guys think about the Reapers?
What I don't get is there's a million different ways to design spaceships. Why do we constantly have the same ones over and over again?
I don't know.
Guys, After Earth didn't. Boom. Now.
Yeah, I think everyone here just got Shyamalan'd. Well, the spaceships in After Earth look like stingrays.
But all right. I don't know. So we get the first Krypton part, but then I didn't mind the young Clark Kent stuff in flashback. I mean, until, like, obviously some of the...
I thought flashbacks was... Because at first when I saw how long they were going with Krypton, I'm like, and then they're going to tell the story from birth to Superman? I can't fucking tolerate that. So I thought it was, like, a nice touch to show just, like...
Bits and pieces.
Specific scenes, not sequentially.
Yeah.
That should have highlighted, like... what his childhood was like.
And that's what me and Tiggs were talking earlier, that I thought Kevin Costner's portrayal of John Kent was fantastic.
It was great.
Up till his death.
Yeah.
That was, that was a terrible lame.
I think that first conversation that you see a little bit of in the trailer when he's like, should I just let those people die? And he says, maybe, is just as good and shocking in the film as it was in the trailer.
Yeah.
And the moment when he's like, oh, you're still my son, it does really hit you. Even though you've been with the two of them for... 10 minutes of screen time.
Costner has very little screen time in this movie,
but he works. That's what's so depressing about the rest of the movie is that the script in those scenes is so well done and clearly was worked on with like a fine hand that was really trying to get attention to detail to have really big moments. And then at other times, at the end, Michael Shannon spits out his motivation in a minute and a half boring ass monologue.
Mm.
Of something they've talked about the entire film.
Yeah. I think that there's a little much monologue in this movie.
Now that there's no more Krypton, I don't have anything. So I'm going to fight you, Superman.
All right. Fight me, I guess.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a weird movie because, like, again, like the Christopher Nolan... style of doing a comic book movie, super grounded, make it really serious. They took that and went an extra mile further than they should have. And it
makes like the one light moment of the film seem out of place when it was more in place. Like for if you, like actually knowing Superman, when she's like, I just think he's hot. That doesn't work in this movie because the rest of the movie is a somber affair.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, it made sense because like that is the kind of type of shit you'd expect to see in a superhero in a Superman movie. It was just about a hair too fucking dour. Like it's darker than Dark Knight.
Millions of people died in this film.
Yeah,
oh,
that's
absolutely.
True.
Millions.
Much of Metropolis is a crater.
All right, maybe hundreds of thousands.
Okay, fine. Yeah. Hundreds of thousands.
It's just one city.
And then the other side of the.
The world.
The world destroyer.
Oh, right. India. Right? Yeah. It was India?
I forget where exactly.
It was, like a South Asian thing. Yeah.
But, like, how much destruction of Metropolis, and how much was caused by Superman fighting is the really ridiculous part.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, Superman would, at times, punch Zod through a building that had, you know, Pride people in it.
And then the building would just crash down. Like,
however, that shit looked awesome.
Yeah, it did. It looked fucking amazing.
I got the scope of Superman's powers on screen right.
Oh, the actual the fight with versus Feyora, we've seen that. We've seen that with Hulk. We've seen that with everything else. Yeah. But the real flying around Superman fight was finally done right at the end of this film.
Because, like, he's going from Metropolis. Oh, wait, now he's in space. Oh, wait, now he's back. Like, and it didn't seem weird that he was doing all of that. And I thought that was really awesome.
To the point of the amount of destruction caused by Superman, I thought I had read an interesting comment online that someone had said that they hope that this is, like, if they do the Justice League movie or when they do it, that this is the point that Batman brings up to Superman to be like, you're all powerful and all this, but you have no fucking concept of what you're actually doing. You're not really saving so many people. You're actually hurting so many more and just sacrificing.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the great point, because that's the only time Batman and Superman ever make sense together.
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. Especially when Batman can call out Superman shit, and Superman can call out Batman shit for the fact that, you know, Batman's a crazy person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's totally what I do believe is missing from Nolan's movies a little bit.
Yeah,
right.
With the whole thing with Destruction is that this is that annoying film that they kind of take out the spirit of Superman of being that that Boy Scout, very caring person that only wants to protect, and that's gone from this movie.
Yeah, totally.
I think there's some like cute little scenes with him in the military, and I think Cavill played a very charming Superman.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I liked him a lot. Yeah.
I didn't enjoy him.
Lost Clark Kent.
Yeah.
And I think that's so much of the character that it's really difficult.
There's a happy medium between, like, you know, pushing up his glasses all the time and like, oh, gee, Lois, I don't know. I guess Superman was just here. And, like, just being like a guy that with a beard that just like is like really sad all the time.
I honestly thought if pretty much every scene that starts on Cavill, if they had cut out the first 17 frames of the scene, I would be fine with the whole fucking thing.
Oh, okay, let's not forget Zack Snyder doing his best Malick impression for every flash.
And so it was just like, oh god damn it! Like it feels so hammy now because he's just been like staring at the camera and like, here's a little fucking nod and shit. I'm like, all right, come on.
There was probably more shots of inanimate objects in the wind than was like action set pieces.
You will believe clothes can dry.
Someone be like, I don't know how to be a human.
He just really liked American Beauty. It was fun.
But the annoying thing with, like, the way they set up Jonathan Kent's death is that the whole thing is that he thinks that his son should hide from society. But if you don't have a Clark Kent character, he's not doing that.
Right.
At no point in this film is he hiding.
Well, I guess
except to let Jonathan Kent die, spoiler alert.
And when he dies, it's kind of
dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really dumb.
It's just like, he could easily just walk out there and have saved him.
It could have been, like, a normal person could have saved him.
Yeah, like, anybody could have done it. It wasn't, he had a lot of time.
Yeah, that's what I was joking with Tiggs online the other day. I was like, why didn't Clark Kent just go, Dad, why don't I just do it, what you're going to do? I won't use any powers. I'll just go slightly faster. and that's it. I'm a young person. I people will think I can run faster than my 40-something-year-old man.
I could carry you. It's not a big problem.
Yeah. Also, Dad, it's a dog. we clearly got over it fast and got a new one.
It's super funny to just watch him like in that scene, like walking and be like, oh, my ankle hurts. I'm gonna just die. Who does, like, you would try to live a little bit.
Like, nope.
Not like, nah, my
nope,
ankle's
don't save me.
Had a good run. You know those ankles. They're pesky.
All right. What did you guys think about the removal of kryptonite?
Well, I don't think it had a place in this film.
No.
I think if it's Kryptonians fighting Kryptonians, you don't need kryptonite.
Yeah.
Right, but I mean, it's okay. So you think that kryptonite could still possibly exist, but it just hasn't
shown its face. I totally think it can. Like, I see a sequel where, like, Lex Luthor is not played as a fucking, like, crazy, but as, like, a guy that's like, look at what just happened to
this
city. Yeah,
that's the thing. Like, this is a good film to set up a sequel because it makes Lex Luthor's motivation make sense. Like, it took a lot of different comic books a long time to be like, you know what? We have to sort of make this person make more sense as a villain. And if Lex Luthor is the villain in the second one, I'm on his side.
Me too. Yeah.
There's nothing in this movie would have happened if Clark Kent didn't land on Earth.
Right.
Or if he didn't just fucking leave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if I lived in that world, and I think that's kind of the interesting thing about these like Nolan real world movies is they make you question like I read comics and they make you go a different way. Like if I lived in that world, I want Superman the fuck gone.
Yeah.
Because if Superman's around, someone's going to try to come and fight Superman, and those two are going to fight and just fucking kill everybody.
Yeah.
Right.
In terms of required reading for this, other than like the biggest Superman ones, for a good idea for the whole Lex Luthor conversation we're having, Lex Luthor, Man of Steel.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Is a comic. Brian Azzarello and Lee Berhemo, I think that's how you say his name. Fantastic. It's an origin story of Superman all seen through the eyes of Luthor. So you kind of see Superman as the villain throughout the story.
Nice.
And it's done very well.
That's pretty cool.
Very good book.
All right, you guys want to rate it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Russ, what do you think?
I'm going to give it, and I settled on the rating almost as soon as I walked out. I'm going to give it 3.5, but a high 3.5. I feel like to give it 3 is kind of shitting on it too much, and I feel like to give it 4, it wasn't that good. But, I'm going to go 3.5 because the stuff that works really does work. I thought that Diane Lane and Costner as the parents really, like, all those scenes really worked for me. I liked that Lois Lane knew Clark was Superman because I was reading an article and they're like, if she's as good of a fucking journalist as she says she is, she'd know that. So I don't care about that. I do think if they were trying to paint this as like a Superman isn't quite Superman yet and he's raw, then I like this movie a lot because, you know, he kills a person, he allows a lot of people to die on his watch. He's not like quite the Superman in action that we, you know, come to know. I thought, however, it was a little too fucking dark. It didn't need to be. I felt like tonally, like, a lot of the beats worked, but it was just always a little too sad. And I thought Michael Shannon was the exact person I thought could play Zod, but he's in a different movie than everybody else.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think it's a great start.
Yeah, so they just had no good dialogue written for Zod.
Yeah,
he's so good to play that maniac, angry leader, but they gave him nothing interesting to say.
Yep. But all in all, like, yeah, the movie has its problems, but I think. If the world they made works, and I think that Henry Cavill will be a good Superman, but again, with no Clark Kent, you're missing a whole lot. Yeah. That's it.
All right, very good. Alex, what
all
did you
right.
think?
Well, I'm going to actually echo Russ and give this 3.5 baby farms out of 5. So I thought that... I thought that there was a lot of really good stuff in this movie, but man, it just wasn't fun. And that's the thing. It's like the Avengers could have all of this stuff and still be fun. They could have, you know, like cities being destroyed, but still be able to have like an enjoyable movie watching experience. And like even The Dark Knight, like you found ways to like, you know, keep getting into the movie through like the, you know, the characters being really compelling and at times even, you know, funny stuff like that, but man, this movie is just, I think that he wanted to try making maybe an artier Superman movie than he should have, and it just, I think it works sometimes, but other times, like, for instance, when, you know, Superman is in a church with Jesus just behind him for 5 minutes talking, it's just kind of weird.
If you take that scene out, it's the exact same movie.
Boom.
Wait, what?
That scene does nothing.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I think that, I don't know. I think that the action set pieces, like, those are awesome. And I think that, like Pete said before, like, we finally got to see Superman done right on screen in terms of fighting. And that's what I want to see more of. I like the fact that they at least started with a villain that, like, physically, you know, they could match each other. So you actually got to see, you know, Superman's power.
Yeah.
But man, people will always, in Superman movies, always with the real estate schemes.
That's what
one way
do.
Or another.
That's what they do.
But no, it's totally...
Oh god, this was still a real estate scheme, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yep.
Incredible.
Yep. Yeah, reboot.
The TV
yeah.
show?
Yep, reboot. Watch it on Netflix, I think.
Oh shit.
I think it is. But no, I really recommend, if you have any interest in it, to go see it in the theater, because that's the way it should be seen. And at least it'll force you to get through some of the tougher parts, because you feel this movie's length. It's 2 hours and 25 minutes, and you feel it.
Yes. Pete, what do you think?
I'm going to give it three. Few things. To echo some things that people said, first of all, yes, entirely too long.
Wait, you're giving it what?
Three. Entirely too long. As Alex says, it's not fun. And that's, I think you lose some of the charm of Superman. And yes, I get that you want to make it realistic, but the Batman movies are so entertaining and fun because it's so realistic, but it's also a character that needs to feel realistic because it's just a man. Superman is not. And if you try to ground it so much, it takes out the real fantasy of the character. Other than that, I was reading a review of a guy I know named Seb. He said he really hated it, but he's like, you know what? If the same group made a sequel, I think it could be better. I think the same cast and the same writers and director could make a better one. And he still like believes in this team.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's so long. If you know what? If you have a really nice TV, you have a nice stereo system. Rent it, blah blah blah, watch it on TV, buy the DVD, fuck it, and watch the last half hour.
Yeah, it's really good.
But other than that, it's way too fucking long, and it's not fun, and I can't see a kid liking this film. And that's heartbreaking that a little kid can't go see this. And if you think about Superman kills Zod, snaps his neck in a really horrifying scene. If you think about Avengers, the bad guy is beaten by the Hulk, whipping him around like a rag doll and joking about it.
Yeah.
That's what makes that for kids. That's what makes, like, it's fun for us. It's also fun for kids. And this movie's not that.
No.
I didn't think about that. You're right.
Tiggs, take it.
I'm going to echo Pete and give this a three. Although I think I might have, I mean, I'm giving it a three just like Pete, but I feel like I also liked it more than Pete did. I definitely thought it was a little bit too long. I thought that I didn't really like many of the actors throughout this whole film. I thought Costner was great, and I didn't like anyone else. but it was still, it was enjoyable for the most part. It was kind of entertaining, and it was just intense the whole fucking time. It is, well, except for like the first half hour. But all the story beats, like this is a very serious movie, and that's kind of an interesting thing to be doing with Superman that has always kind of been, I mean, except maybe for the last one, it was kind of light. Superman 3 and 4, I mean, I remember those as being pretty light. There's no Richard Pryor in this. There's no computer woman at the end of this. Like, I would be fine with that, first off, because I still have nightmares about that villain. But no, this is, I don't know, I thought it was a good telling of Superman, honestly. Like, I enjoyed kind of where they went. I just didn't really care for Superman himself. I liked watching it, though. It looks fucking beautiful. Yeah. Zack Snyder can film a scene.
and he toned himself down a lot. Like, this is the least Zack Snyder-y Zack Snyder movie.
Totally
like, there
is.
Was not all, like, you know.
There's no bullet time.
Yeah, like the speed up, slow down type stuff.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, he knew to rein himself in at least.
Yeah. So next up, we've got a little bit of a documentary.
A little bit.
Well, all right. So a documentary.
I thought that was a joke on This Is the End.
That's awesome. That's currently, you can see it on HBO. It's been playing a bunch. It's on demand HBO. It's going to be on HBO Go in November? No, August. Called Pussy Riot, A Punk Prayer. Are we going to get a rust down for this?
Can.
All right, get us a rust down.
I think I saw there's like a maybe a commercial or a trailer at the movies for the summer documentaries on HBO.
Yeah.
And all of them look fantastic.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, and I know was there like a Marilyn Monroe one that just premiered this week and another one? Because Pussy Riot was last week on HBO, I think.
Yeah.
Because I just finally got around to see it on there. But you had like...
Hey, yeah, cool. Rust down. All right, great. Pussy Riot, A Punk Prayer. Three young women face 7 years in a Russian prison. Russian. For a satirical performance in a Moscow cathedral. But who is really on trial in a case that has gripped the nation and the world beyond? Three young artists or the society they live in?
Yeah.
See the movie, so, find out. Punk band
there you go.
Makes fun of Putin.
In a church. In the church.
Yeah, like the main cathedral mafia.
Yeah. While they were air guitaring and singing one of their songs, an anti-Putin song, mm-hmm. and they're taken to jail and they're put on trial and they end up getting 2 years in Russian in gulags.
Yeah, it's like it says a penal colony, but it pretty much sounds like they're in a work camp.
They're in work camps. One of them got out eventually. They were able to they got a new lawyer by the end of it, and they were able to get off. But it's so the whole documentary is mostly about the trial, really. Like there's a bit about the group in there, and it talks about like when they got formed. It talks a little bit about Putin and him coming to power recently, and then it's sort of like the rest of it is really just about the trial and sort of how it's insane what they're charging these people with and just kind of. For hooliganism and what they're getting for this.
Yeah, it's really, I mean, the whole thing was, I thought, really well made.
Yeah, and the interesting part, well, sorry, Alex, what are you saying?
Oh, no, I was gonna, keep going.
Oh, no, I was gonna, like, about how it's made, there's a lot of film, a lot of the film is just scenes from the courtroom that they were able to get because they broadcast the trial live over the internet because there was so much... speculation, or there's just so much interest in this trial that they broadcast it live. I think it was the government just broadcast it live for the whole world to see. And it just really goes like the whole thing was sort of like how the entire thing was a show, how it was a lot like the show trials that they had then. It's sort of Alex, you saw this as well, right?
Yep.
Sure.
Yeah. I was at the New York premiere. It was last night at the IFC, and the directors were there. And there was some really I thought that the film was great. But there was a lot of interesting things that really kind of happened after the film that they didn't get to touch upon, that there's now a new law that just defends so if someone else was to ever try this, they would immediately be put into jail, and there wouldn't be this whole trial and the spiel about it that says if you were to offend a religious belief, that's now that's a crime.
Wow.
There is also I think the woman was from Amnesty International. I'm not 100% sure about that, but she was there. She was actually at the trial, and she was talking about when they were reading off the sentence.
Yeah,
it was 45 pages, and it was the first 40 or something were just testimonies that they had already heard before of the 9 people that were claiming that they were harmed right. by this. And then the end of it, it starts to talk about feminism and the definition of feminism. And the woman on stage was like this. It sounded very positive. And then it said that the beliefs of feminism are counter to the beliefs of the Orthodox Church, and therefore this can be charged as a hate crime. And they didn't even really get into that in the film at all, and that's just to show you even more fucked up the whole system is, that was effectively the reason.
Yeah, I totally recommend watching this, even if you didn't follow the trial or anything like that. I think it's, a really engaging, eye-opening documentary that, I guess it's one of those ones that, you can critique, maybe it's too one-sided or anything like that. But
I mean, it is very one-sided.
Oh, absolutely.
Obviously. But it's obviously one-sided.
I think that, this is one of those cases where this is just a movie presenting their story.
Yeah.
And it should be, and it should be taken as such. And I,
it's fun to watch.
It's really fun to watch, and,
Fun?
Fun, I mean, like...
You, the amount of fun that these three girls are having while they're locked up in the jail cell. They're laughing.
They're, in the cage thing that, you remember from the new Die Hard that they were keeping,
Yeah, they're there. They're in that.
Yeah, they're in that thing. And,
They're watching the trial, and they're laughing.
And they're making jokes at each other, and they're like, oh, God, we're laughing, and there's gonna be pictures of us laughing, and they're gonna be like... They're making these jokes oh God, there's gonna be these headlines tomorrow, girls laughing at their sentence and everything.
And so the directors were just this is just another piece of performance art for them now. That's what they're seeing the trial as another piece of performance art, and that's why they're doing this.
But it's but again, I really recommend.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Yeah.
I also saw the WikiLeaks documentary that is.
Well, do you want to rate it?
Oh, this? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll give this 4.5.
Yeah.
Easy.
4.5. Yeah. No, I agree.
4.5. Yeah.
You want to talk a little bit about WikiLeaks? Wait. Hold on. Don't take a Russ down away from Russ.
Yeah.
Secrets.
I just gotta leave the page I was at.
Candy Crush.
He was.
I don't play Candy.
I love it. I love it. Just let Alex and I go on for a little while you play. Wait, and Pete, what are you playing on the Xbox right now?
I'm playing Candy Crush on my phone.
You're playing Candy Crush too?
Yeah.
Guys, it's just a match 3 game.
So it's We Steal Secrets, right?
Yeah.
We Steal Secrets. Story of WikiLeaks. A documentary that details the creation of Julian Assange's controversial website, which facilitated the largest security breach in US history.
US magazine? Are you giving us a plug?
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah, this is the director of Taxi to the Dark Side and Enron, Smartest Guys in the Room.
Mm-hmm.
I like Taxi to the Dark Side.
Yeah, I actually did not see it, but I heard it was great. Didn't it win an Oscar?
I don't remember.
Maybe for something.
Keep going, Alex.
But anyway, this actually, it's just on VOD right now. It comes out in 2 weeks.
Okay.
Theatrically. I think this is a really, it's a really interesting documentary. I didn't know a lot of the details of the, you know, of what was like, what was leaked when. And how kind of things got started the way that they did. So it's really interesting to see how, like, Julian Assange became this, like, worldwide figurehead. And then kind of as his legal troubles started, how that, you know, kind of brought down what could have been an awesome, like, this crazy amazing thing that, like, and kind of how he undermined kind of his own values in some way. I think it's a little long. It's 2 hours and 10 minutes. And a lot of, like, there'll be chat logs between people, so there will just be periods of just, like, chats coming up on the screen.
Are you just reading it at that point?
Yeah. Oh. And it's cool in some ways, because you're just, like, kind of getting to, you know, see these guys' conversations while, like, the archive, like, archive footage or something like that goes in the background. But you just, it makes you feel the length.
Yeah.
But I think that, like, if you were curious about, you know, for instance, Bradley Manning, the guy that's the analyst that's in jail now for leaking everything, like, a lot of people right now are in the news talking about his sentencing and everything. And I think if you want a way to, you know, at least get an idea of what was happening with that, you know, I think this is a good place to start. I don't quite, you know, it's definitely one that seems like it's a pro WikiLeaks anti-Assange movie, I would say, especially for the last half. So you definitely get things from that point of view more than anything else. But I thought that it was directed really cool, and it gave me at least a better insight starting onto the case. I really recommend checking it out. It's only $6 on VOD.
Nice.
So maybe if you have a few people that you want to watch it with, that's a great way to do it right now. I would give this a solid 4. I think it's good.
Nice. Really good. All right. And we got one more film to talk about tonight.
Well, and don't forget, if you don't want to watch the documentary, they're currently producing that the film about Assange with Cumberbatch.
Cumberbatch.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
With,
who better person to play him?
With Khan.
Yeah.
Really?
Spoiler.
Yeah.
Wait, it's a crossover Star Trek movie?
Yeah.
Nice. This is the end. Can we get a rust down? This is the end? Can we get a rust down?
This is the end.
Can we get a rust down?
Sure.
Start singing.
This is the end. No, while attending a party at James Franco's house, Seth Rogen, Jay Baruchel, and many other celebrities are faced with the apocalypse.
That's accurate.
I like. It's good that they just call out the while attending a party at James Franco's house.
Yeah.
Because it's a great, it's a very fun setup and idea for a film. I think should have been a lot funnier. But
I thought it was really funny.
I think Danny McBride.
Oh, he killed it
once again. That he's the funniest one out of all of them.
Absolutely. Well, I think it's funny. We had Man of Steel this week, and if you hold a mirror up to how not fun that movie was, you'll kind of get This is the End, for me at least.
What's funny about I think, like, what worked best about This Is the End was, like, Danny McBride as an actor just feels so, just seemed like he was completely fucking comfortable in this sort of game.
Yeah, he did.
Like, wow, you are real comfortable. But wow, where his comfort worked, I felt that, I actually like Jay Baruchel a lot in this, and Craig Robinson a ton.
Oh, yeah. Craig Robinson was fucking great.
I love Craig Robinson, but what was up with the towel?
It was just funny. I fucking love that.
It was the whole joke about he sweats so much.
Yeah. Jay Baruchel definitely killed it. I don't know. I like him. I've liked him more than all the other ones recently.
But he's never done anything good enough to make...
He's the voice of Hiccup in How to Train Your Dragon.
All right.
His best role.
But Undeclared wasn't all that bad. It wasn't better than Freaks and Geeks, but it wasn't that bad.
It's more entertaining.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, but he's like the one that stayed in Canada and stuff like that out of these friends. So I kind of buy...
Yeah.
I buy his role in this a little bit.
She's not just that into you. Not that terrible.
He's great and good.
Yep. And The Sorcerer's Apprentice is a movie I saw.
Oh, no. Did you really?
He was my favorite of the friends in Knocked Up.
Yeah. Now, he seems to... Like, is he actually like... He's always playing like the religious guy and stuff.
Does he really?
It Knocked Up. Was he the religious guy? I think so. I can't
remember. There was a religious guy in Knocked Up.
Yeah.
One of their friends.
Was he like, religious in Tropic Thunder?
Maybe. I don't know.
I thought he just talked a lot.
Yeah. Never mind. I might have made it up. I think the thing about this movie is like you get the feeling that this was made in a weekend.
Just had fun.
I mean, there was the one point when they're in the house and the demon jumps through the window. And I jumped out of my fucking seat.
Oh, yeah, me too.
That one part got me.
That really fucking got me. I was just like, holy shit. Didn't expect it anywhere. Spoiler.
And I gotta say, some of the cameos weren't quite as funny as I was hoping going in.
No. Paul Rudd, I thought, had a fucking great cameo. I laughed so much at that. Just coming in with like a giant champagne bottle and then pretty much immediately dying.
Yeah. Michael Cera was real funny.
Michael Cera was very funny.
Okay, Michael Cera is very funny.
I didn't actually notice Martin Starr, but I hear he was there.
Yeah, he's in the credits, but I don't remember seeing him. Yeah.
He was there at the beginning.
Paul opened up, he was standing there. He didn't say anything.
Also, Michael Cera goes, "You star," like he was pointing at Martin Starr.
All right. Damn.
But I think like this movie could have been like a complete clusterfuck because it's like it's such an inside. Like there's probably jokes within this movie that we don't get because we're not them.
It's like
it seems such an inside jokey sort of thing to do.
It's like the Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back of today.
I feel like I'm not gonna spoil it, but I feel like the very very end, that whole cameo of the last scene was more of an inside joke for them than anything else.
Because
it's like, what the fuck? Okay, this is awful.
Yeah.
Stupid.
But it felt like something that should have happened. Should have been mentioned.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of funny.
The last cameo or the end scene?
Both. The very last scene.
Okay. Yeah, that was great.
The end cameo when they have to leave the house, that's great. And I love that.
That's great, yeah.
I don't want to spoil this stuff because it's like the
end more it kills it if you know already.
Yeah.
I think that like the fact that like you can imagine these guys busting each other's balls over like their bad movies and stuff, like you can imagine them kind of doing this stuff regularly. I think that's what made it kind of fun. The fact that you get like hornet jokes.
I love that James Franco's gun was from Flyboy.
That was funny.
I think James Franco was the best parody themselves.
Even over the Michael, even though it was only like a minute and a half, but the Michael Cera parody was pretty great.
I think that was great, but like that was him. That was him doing something different. I feel like James Franco's was drawing a little bit on James Franco.
Yeah, okay. I think that's kind of why parody of that guy.
And I like the fact that I don't really know if Danny McBride is a crazy person or not.
I don't think Danny McBride was doing. I think he was just being Danny McBride.
But that's the problem. Like, he wasn't any different than he is in any other movie.
Yeah,
but I was
like,
this guy is a fucking psycho.
Yep.
Like, missing water like that? Come on.
I thought Jonah Hill was the weakest.
Yep.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I think that was built to be the weakest.
I actually liked him more than I thought I would.
Really?
I got creepy. Like
when he's like, bang, bang.
That was super weird.
I loved it.
Like, were they? Was that the? Was the whole joke about that? Is that like there's Jonah Hill was just pretending to be gay? Because there was some of.
Yeah, I think that part was that was the joke.
I guess.
I don't know.
But there's a lot of other parts. I was like, wait, is that there's some like weird joke that Jonah Hill's a homosexual? I don't know.
That, like the meta joke of it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't get that. But I don't know. I again, like, this is a very stupid movie, but it's also a lot of fun. I think, like, much like basketball or something like that, for me, it was just, like, a really dumb movie full of a lot of jokes. Not all of them necessarily hit, but it just ended up being about friendship, man. And you know what? That's all right with me.
I'm telling you, it's like the Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
It actually entirely is. It's like, it
really only is. I didn't like Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back.
I
built it up too much.
I liked it so much the first time I saw it that in subsequent viewings when I didn't think it was as funny, I still really enjoyed it.
I made the mistake of building that movie up to be like the movie that was going to define my life.
Yeah.
And then I was like, it's all right. And then because I thought it was going to be great and it was only all right, it's now bad.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. All right, do you guys want to rate this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Alex, what do you think?
You know what? I really had a good time with this. Maybe it's just because my whole theater was into it, but everyone was laughing, having a good time. It had the effect of making me really want to, like, hang out with these guys. I say go to the theater and see this with your best buddy. I'm going to give this a 4, giant monster dicks, out of 5.
All right. Pete, what do you think?
I'm a little surprised there are 2 ticks. I'm gonna give it 4. I was trying to figure out whether I want to give it 3.5 or 4, but I'm gonna go with 4. I to echo Alex, definitely seeing it in a group. This movie, even though these are all guys that have been like in movies more recently, but it reminded me of, I don't know, any of those comedies that you would like get a bunch of friends together when you were younger and all sit around and watch and but pay attention to and laugh at because it was funnier than anyone else in the room. Like, everyone was zoned in on it. So, if you think you can only get that in the theater, go see it in the theater. But just see it. It's a good time.
All right, Russ, what do you think?
I'm also going to drop a double deuce on it. I'm going to give it 4. I'm going to give it 4.
I'm shaking my head. I can't see it.
No, I really enjoyed it. It's really funny. It's a type of funny that, like, I like a good movie that after it's over, none of your dumbass friends can quote.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, they did it better than you. Just shut up and fucking watch the movie.
And yeah, it's not exactly quotable.
No, it's not. It's just funny. And I guess, like, I get Tropic Thunder to me is kind of close to that, where, like, it's not funny when you watch it alone, but it is funny when you watch it in, like, a group of people who kind of know enough about the actors or the type or the performances to know like why it should be funny.
Right. Otherwise, you're just gonna hate it.
Yeah. But I think it's really really funny. It's actually kind of thrilling at points. I jumped once.
Yeah, maybe twice.
And this movie was made on a $31 million budget.
Yeah.
And for that, it looks fucking great.
Yeah. It does.
Like, I'm impressed. Like, and that's like a sign. Like, how did they do this with $31 million and movies like World War Z cost $200 million and look like a piece of doo-doo?
And take, like, 4 years to make.
This did not take longer than, like, a weekend. And I think that's part of why it works, too. These guys are just, you're watching people have fun doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
It didn't seem like hard. So yeah, I think it's totally worth seeing. If you don't like them, you probably won't like it. But if you like any of them, you will.
Nice.
Thanks.
Yahtzee! I'm giving it a 4 as well.
It's been a while.
It has been a long while since we've had a Yahtzee here. So I don't know. I enjoyed this. I went into this movie really kind of expecting to hate it. I'd been a little bit tired of most of the guys recently, like almost especially Seth Rogen, I guess. And I've always thought he was hysterical, but it's just been so much. I just see him everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
And so going into this and then them all being like being assholes. And I think, Russ, you had said this before. Like, this movie is about how much of assholes these people are. Even if it's to, like, a fictionalized comical sense. But still, it's just fun to watch, and you just laugh the whole time. And, yeah, it's just, it's good to see with some people. I agree.
And Russ brought it up before, off the podcast, that this really should be the end of this group doing films together.
Yeah.
Because you can't. I don't think you can see any of them in a group on the screen and not think of the real people.
Yep.
Even though it's always been hard to separate them from the characters they play, this is just going to make it impossible.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, I hope that by this is the end, that meant, like, this is the end of them doing, like, those sorts of, like, all these guys teaming up to do a movie together where some have the main roles and some have the side roles. I don't want to see any of them do anything together unless it's fucking starkly different.
Yeah. Yeah. No, definitely.
Or unless it's, like, a combination that we haven't quite seen of, like, the five or six of them. But the thing is, we probably have seen them all.
Yeah.
Yeah, at this point.
This should be a little bit of a
movie starring Craig Robinson or Jay Baruchel, and it's just them.
I've seen everything. This movie just made me do realize how much I do enjoy Jay Baruchel, and I wish he got more work.
I do, too. Yeah.
He was almost Max Lord in the Justice League movie.
It is.
10 years ago.
Tiggs, take us home.
You can find us on the web at moviemoviepodcast.com. You can find us on Twitter at moviemoviepc. You can email us your thoughts, complaints, questions, comments, and fake movie Fridays to moviemoviepodcast@gmail.com. And you can rate us on iTunes by searching for The Priest and the Beekeeper, which is what we are, an improv troupe that has a show the third Thursday of every month at Long Island City's The Creek in the Cave at 8 p.m., which is tomorrow, June 20th. 2013, come on out, share it. Well, it might not be tomorrow. It could be yesterday. It could be, you know, today, depending on when I actually get this up. But, you know, it's a variety show that we host with our good friend and stand-up Zach Broussard called Pigpile. We invite some stand-ups. We invite some improv people, troops, as we come to say. Tomorrow, it's a special show, a very special show, and you should all come.
Oh, God.
Yeah, come, or don't.
Or don't, yeah. No, I mean, it's up to you, really.
Why is it a special show?
We'll tell you later, Alex.
Oh, God.
And we'll let you know next week on the Movie Movie Podcast.
I'm out of the group.
Probably 2 weeks for the Movie Movie Podcast.
That's true, probably 2 weeks.
You gotta wait.
Alex will be out of the troop next week, though.
The summer fucking slows down in terms of...
It goes crazy slow right now.
It's over.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
Later.
Bye.